Hi, and welcome to the Tough Fish Show. I'm your host, Jen Milius, and I'm so glad that you're here. And before we get into the show, I've got a new resource for you if you're ready to take those next steps in visibility and sharing. The Author Stylist Guide is my new book that is your toolbox for the steps to make the most of speaking engagements, book signings, and podcast interviews when they arise, so you grow your readership and create a buzz about your catalog of work and message. And it's available where books are sold. And there are book bonuses too. Visit jennifermilius.com/books to get your copy and get the bonuses so that you own your space and share your book and message. And now let me introduce to you Angela Terry. Angela Terry is the award-winning and Amazon best-selling author of Charming Falls Apart, The Trials of Adeline Turner, and The Palace at Dusk. She is an attorney who formerly practiced intellectual property law at large firms in Chicago and San Francisco. She's also a Chicago Marathon legacy finisher and races to raise money for PAWS Chicago, the Midwest's largest no-kill shelter. She resides in San Francisco with her husband and two cats and is currently working on her next novel. Let's dive into the pond and meet Angela. Welcome to the Tough Fish Show. I am so excited to bring to you Angela Terry. Angela, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Jen. It's nice to meet you.
I am so glad you are here, and it's nice to meet you too. And I would love for you to start with my favorite question, it seems like ever. How did you get into writing?
Well, okay. I think it's one of those things where I have just always written ever since I was little and I learned how to read at school. I'd learn haikus or something that day in school, and I'd come home and write my own. Or, I just write my own stories about my stuffed animals or things like that. And even in high school, I would write stories and I had a little writer's group, but I just never really took it seriously. It was just one of those, it's just what I do. I like to write stories. And I've always been attracted to jobs with writing. And so I went to law school. And I became a litigator. People think litigation, you're in court all the time, but really the arguments are all on paper. You're writing a story and you're writing your client's story. And, some of the lawyers used to joke with me that, wow, your statement of facts are very dramatic. And it's like, well, I just want to make sure I get the story across. I kind of knew I always wanted to write a book. And so that's when I started thinking about it more seriously. And I just kind of in my downtime, I would just write when I could. And then I took it really seriously and I took time off of work. And that's when I finished my first book and started querying it. And, the rest is kind of history because I am now on my third book.
I love that. And I love the point you made about how writing can show up earlier in a career path. Like in my case, I had a corporate path, but my writing showed up through that. And you are kind of finding your voice. You're figuring out how to communicate what's going on. And in so many cases, creating the story around it to really explain what is going on or what you're trying to teach or what you're trying to clarify is a way of helping. So if somebody is listening and perhaps they're in their day job and they're figuring out what's going on and they feel like they're not spending enough time writing that story that they really want to create, but you're still honing your voice, you're still honing skills when you're working on, when you're applying that skill set in the day jobs. How did you make that transition to really go from I'm gonna really jump into this and focus my energy here on this manuscript. How did you make that transition?
I had been always just kind of writing stories in the background, like I said, but there was this one book, this one manuscript, and I was just feeling very strongly about it. And this is something that I don't advocate doing this, but anyway, I was at the airport on vacation. I was coming back and I picked up this book in the airport, and it turned out to be an Emily Giffen book. And I just devoured it during my flight and everything. And I looked at the back of the book and it said she was a lawyer. And then it also said that she had taken off a year to write. And I was like, oh, and I kind of was returning. I kind of wasn't in a great place at work at that time. And I was kind of thinking, like, wow, out of all the lawyers I want to be right now, the lawyer I want to be is Emily Giffen, this novelist. And it made me realize, I was like, you know, I think I kind of need to take this writing seriously. I had a discussion with my husband and all this stuff. And yeah, it was just one of those things where it was just kind of the right timing for me to do it. And so I took the chance and I did it. And just so you know, that book was rejected, but it doesn't matter because I just knew. The thing is, I was getting such good feedback from people though. And I think it was the type of writing I was doing was very different than what was marketable at that point. When I was querying, that was kind of the height of the Gone Girl. And it was more the thriller, psychological thrillers were kind of having a big moment. And agents were just telling me that women's fiction, it wasn't, you know, you're kind of competing with those. And so they were just taking a little less of those on. And so I just had the bug at that point, and I was like, well, I have so many more stories in me that I want to write, so I'm just going to keep going. And I'm glad I did because my debut happened in 2020.
Well, I love that. I love your point about you. So you take this leap, you start working on this manuscript. To your point, okay, so it got rejected, but you didn't let it get to you. And you got some interesting information about the market in the sense, but then you also had to stay true to your voice, stay true to what was in your heart, and say, okay, I can either figure out how to write in a genre I may or may not be interested in, or I can stay the course with this area that I like, and maybe I just write a different story. And I love that. I love that tenacity that you showed doing that. So, did you take like writing courses or go to things that would help to cultivate the craft in some way as when you got the first rejection, per se, to help you make that transition a little easier to go into the next piece that you wanted to write? Or how did that happen?
When I first started writing and querying, I just didn't know what I was doing. I mean, when I sent that first query letter, it was rightly kind of ignored because, you know, I was flying by the seat of my pants. I didn't know. My book was way too long. It was at 120K, which is a lot. Anything over 100 is kind of an auto rejection for my genre. And so, yeah, I just started meeting other writers and I started going to conferences. And so, you know, in writing retreats, I joined the Women's Fiction Writers Association, and you know, I could kind of see what I was doing wrong, you know. And so we were talking about voice before too with writing. So you did corporate writing, I was doing legal writing, and a lot of that was kind of coming across in my fiction. You know, I was reading a little kind of very formal, and the dialogue was very formal.
Too.
A lot of therefores. And, you know, I wasn't making an argument in my book. And then it was at one of these conferences that I kind of met someone, and she kind of pointed me in the right direction for publishers. And it was worth it. Like I had to do that learning curve. And what you said about heart too, my first book is, it's a book about following your heart.
But I love that. I love that. And you're right that I encountered that same thing too. When you're writing in the corporate space, whatever industry, relatively speaking, I think that there's a voice that is appropriate for that. And a lot of times contractions aren't showing up. And there is an argument element, there's a persuasive element that you're writing because you're basically creating a form of buy-in. This is where we are. I'm trying to get you to go to here. Ergo, there has to be a form of buy-in. And that might work even more so in nonfiction writing, especially prescriptive writing, but we're talking fiction.
Right.
And unless your character is formal like that, or you can utilize it in some way that way, you're right that that was one of the first things to learn to break, really, was using contractions. And a lot of times, what
Right.
I would do would be reading it out loud actually helped the most because what I might have said, or what a character might have said, would be different than how they might have written it on the page, especially when you can write something and then tweak it and then massage it and come back to it and then change a little bit more of it. Where when you're speaking, you blurted it out.
Right.
So your character, you could play off of that more. Did you feel like something like that kind of helped you also kind of break some of the
Oh yeah.
habits.
Because I think, especially like with legal writing, when you're writing a brief, you put the argument first and then you put all your like the first sentence, is your subject, your argument, and then everything is the supporting stuff. But, in fiction, you don't want to say, and this is what happened in the first sentence, and then go like the whole chapter's backstory to support what happened in that first sentence. Like, that's weird, You want to take the reader on a ride. You want them with you. You're entertaining them, they're
Yes.
discovering the story along with you. And so that was something I kind of had to learn, that at the first chapter, don't put exactly what happened. And then speaking, exactly, you have to read, we speak in contractions. We speak very quickly. Also, too, like our body language and movements, and that has to kind of show up on the page, give it some color, and you just wouldn't put that in, more formal writing.
Yes, exactly. So when you were working on the manuscript that became the first book, did you have a theme in mind that you were really trying to bring forward, or did it happen organically? And then you realized it as you were going through the edits, going, "Hey, wait, I'm seeing more of this and I want to develop it even further." Like, how did that happen?
So I definitely had a theme going into the book before I started writing it, and I was inspired. So I had already started this writing journey, and I was at a bachelorette party, and we were all just kind of sitting around the pool, just talking about life, being existential. And Elizabeth Gilbert's book, the name is escaping me now. Anyway, creative. It's a book on
Creative
creative.
magic.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And so it just come out and we're all kind of talking about it. And one of the women, like the rest of us, were all kind of lawyers. And so we're all kind of complaining about our jobs. But the other woman, she just seemed like one of those people who had, she just had it all together. She had like the perfect career. She just seemed really put together, just a really nice person. And she just admitted, she was like, I like my job, but I don't love my job. I want something more, but I just don't know what that something more is. And I just thought, like, wow, I think that is just a very common feeling. Not everyone has to like quit their job and become a writer, like that is their calling. Some people, they want something more, but they don't really know what it is yet. Like, they should be happy, but they're just kind of existing. And so that kind of became the theme for my first book, which is called Charming Falls Apart, the one that came out in 2020. And in the very beginning of that book, the character, she's 35 years old, and it begins, she is fired from her job that she's had since college at her PR firm. And then she comes home to tell her fiance, and then her fiance tells her he is breaking up with her because the wedding's off because he's in love with her maid of honor. And so she really does have to kind of like start from square one. And she is someone who she thought she was happy, but clearly, things weren't going in the right direction for her. She's just kind of starting from ground zero and she doesn't know where to go. She doesn't have a particular passion. And so the theme of that is she kind of had to really get quiet with herself and listen, like, what is it? Like, I've just kind of gone along with life, but what is it that I really want to do?
I love that so much because I feel like what that created was an opportunity to push your writing, because now she has a very clear arc of, we know we've hit bottom, and so the only place she can really go is up.
Right,
So we
right.
want her to go up and we want her to be transformed because of this. So what were some things that you did in order to help her transformation, because women's fiction is definitely character driven. So how did you help do that for her?
Well, yes, yeah, so it would have been a very boring book if she just sat inside and ate pizza and ice cream all the time. Like, I had to get her like out doing stuff. And so her personality is, she, is a people pleaser and a rule follower. And so she kind of gets this idea in her head that she needs to go on a self-help journey. Her life has gone off the rails, but that's because she's been following old rules and she just needs to get some new rules. And so she starts reading all these self-help books and kind of discovering stuff about herself. But, at the end of the day, you can read all the self-help you want and, it is great. I mean, I'm a fan, but the only voice that matters is your own. And you really have to make the rules for your own life. No one else can really do it for you. And what I really liked about this book is not everyone has to make a huge departure from their current life. So, for example, this character was in PR and she enjoyed the job. She was good at it. Was she passionate about, coming up with new ideas for a new beverage or something? Like, no, but she was good at it. But she kind of realized that the thing she really did enjoy was she did a lot of the community service outreach programs for her PR firm. And she worked with a lot of schools and with kids. And so she realized, like, hey, this is something in my job that I really enjoyed. How can I do this in my own life? And I don't want to give too many spoilers in the book, but she does. She kind of creates a new job and new life for herself. And it's just more in line with who she is as a person.
I love that. So, to your point, she has a PR background. How did you learn more about what her role actually would be so that her character felt real?
For her original job, I have a lot of friends who are in different industries and stuff. And so I think I was just pulling from that. And I would say when I was a lawyer, we did a lot of our firm, we did a lot of pro bono work and things with schools and things like that. And so I was kind of able to pull from my own corporate business life. But then I did have friends here who kind of do, they work at corporations where there's community outreach and stuff. And so it was kind of, I would just ask them, I'm like, does this sound real? Does this sound like a real job? Like,
Well, no, that's
if she started
good.
her own company, would this make sense? Things like that.
Yes, that's exactly it. I mean, because as a writer, you're not always going to know what that job looks like. You might have inklings of it. There's a reason that you think this industry or this job might suit this character. But to your point, you were doing some homework, asking friends, looking around, leveraging your background, but leveraging other people's too by getting that input. I think that that's such an important part of developing a strong character because, you want that character to feel multidimensional. You want that character to feel like there is more to them than just this one thing that we know. So, to your point about the theme showing up, when you were going back through your edits, how did you make sure that that theme was strengthened? So, if you're writing it with it in mind, you're intentionally weaving it through. But then, how did you go back through when you were editing the manuscript to say, okay, am I hitting these notes all the way that I'm intending to? What did you do to kind of make sure?
The way I had originally approached the book was going to be more comedy. In that, I kind of wanted her to do these crazy self-help things where like experiments and then kind of, I don't know, just almost farcical. But then I was like, this just doesn't feel real to me. And it was kind of like what you were saying too, that there's more to these characters. A lot of my books, I kind of think they're based on. The stories are based on things my friends and I talk about. Even though the characters are fictional, I want them to feel real. And the best thing a reader could tell me is, oh my gosh, I really identified with this character, or they felt really real to me. And so I think going through, I had to give her a lot of vulnerabilities. And so that was something, and have her kind of grow through this. And so the theme, she's kind of a people pleaser. She's a rule follower. But I gave her some backstory to why she was like that and to see how she's changing. And so I kind of gave her a little backstory where when she was younger, she kind of realized, like, if I just fit in, if I just do what other people are doing, like, for example, she wanted to play one sports, but her other friends were being cheerleaders. She's like, well, I guess I'll become a cheerleader. But her heart really was somewhere else. And so just certain things, like just little things, like even the clothes she chooses to wear, she realizes, like, oh, these were my work clothes. These were kind of a uniform for me, but I actually really prefer being in a t-shirt and jeans. Or even her hair, she always had it like kind of perfect and the perfect highlights. And then she kind of just started growing out her natural color. And so it was just like these little things like that that were kind of just like little seeds within the book. So it was nothing major, but she was just, you could kind of tell she was kind of realizing, like, this is what I like. Like, I was doing this other stuff, but this is what I really like. So then when there's kind of like at the end, the big reveal, sort of what she kind of realizes, like, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. Hopefully, the seeds were already there. And so the reader has kind of watched her grow.
Yes, and I love the way you described it too, because it is a seed. It's subtle. I mean, just to your point of I'm changing from my corporate uniform, if you will, to genes, but it probably didn't happen all in one setting too. It probably was
Right.
a, okay, well, maybe today I might try this, but not
Right.
tomorrow. So it showed that nuance, but it's a beautiful way to deepen the character by planting the seed. Oh, and wait, we're going to water it. We're going to nurture it. We're going to plant some more seeds. We're going to water them. Go back and water the first one so that you really start to see this develop and the strength of the character gets there. So I love how you described it. And you said this book released in 2020, which I'm assuming that was
2020.
during at the beginning of the
Right
pandemic.
in the middle of it. Yep. What a time to debut.
But you did it. And on top of it,
Yeah.
two more books came. So what helped you to get going on book two and then subsequently book three?
So even though my book came out, my debut came out in 2020, it was accepted in 2018. So there was, the production and all of that stuff. And so I had already started working on the next book and, finishing that up and stuff. I guess like a side effect of, lockdown or whatever, was we had a lot of time at home, so I didn't have a lot of social engagements. So I had a lot of time to write. And so I really was kind of ready to go with the next book after that. And so that book, it's The Trials of Adeline Turner. And that one came out in October 2021. So a little over a year after my first book, again, is about listening to your heart, I would say. And so that, though, I kind of returned to my own roots and I just made it easier for myself. And that the main character is a lawyer. It was still a very similar theme and that, and I didn't even realize I was kind of writing in a similar theme, but it revealed itself afterwards. But in that book, she is kind of a rule follower again. She is on the cusp of partner at her firm, but she didn't really date. She's just very, very busy. But these are just kind of lies she's telling herself. And then she runs into her high school crush at the airport. And suddenly, like her really boring life just kind of takes this whole other turn. And she kind of realizes that she has been kind of holding on to old stories. And because she's been holding on to these old stories about life, like she sees things in very black and white. And because of that, she hasn't had her sort of like happily ever after, I would say. She has been kind of living a half life. Again, a similar theme, but they're very different circumstances.
Yeah, but going back to the point about it being a theme, what I love about that is that it feels like there's a continuity between the two books, even if, we're talking two different main characters, we're talking two different plot lines, really, but still there's that umbrella of that theme that's supporting both of the books. And so book one, there was an intentionality of her, listening to her heart and finding that voice, so to speak. Book two, it wasn't necessarily that that was where it started, but it also came through. So when you realized it was coming through, what did you do? Like, was it one of those that you were like, oh, I'm really excited. This is great. I can see this. Or was it more of a, oh, should I really do this? Like, did you question if it was what you wanted in the sense that, did you question if it should be a different theme altogether? Or did you feel like, no, I've love that this has come through yet again, and this time unintentionally. So I'm moving with it,
Right. I did kind of worry about that because the second book, you're always worried. There's people who love the first, will they love the second? I don't know. And then I kind of worried, well, if it's sort of a similar theme, are people just going to say, oh, you're just writing the same thing? But here's the thing, I really love it. And the reason why is because it is very different. I think we all sometimes have these in life, sometimes I think we have things that hold us back and we don't always know what it is. And I think for this character, like I said, she was holding on to old stories of her past and it was affecting her relationships. It was affecting, and in that book too, it was more affecting her relationship with her family. And her mother had left them when she was very young. And this character, Adeline, she just like really held on to that. And her mother, in her eyes, was just this bad person, but she didn't really understand the reasons why her mother had to leave. And it isn't until she starts really discovering like this old crush that maybe he wasn't the perfect person she always thought he was, and maybe there was more to her mother's story than she thought, and kind of like she kind of been living in this shadow world, and then she suddenly sees the reality of everything, and it kind of helps her realize like, hey, there are things I want to go for in life, and I kind of haven't been going from them. And life is messy and complicated, and that's just how it is. And you should still like go for what you really want. But because it was very different plot line, I just was like, well, this is where I'm going. This is what it is. Another book about listening to your heart.
But you know what I like about that is you were staying true to your own voice. And even when it would have been easy to stay in your head and rework something because, well, I've already done that. You know, instead you said, yes, I did that and I enjoyed it. And it felt really authentic to me. And it's coming through this book. I want to just stay with it. I really like that you did that. And so I'm curious, and what you were talking about of the stories that you can tell, like your character was telling yourself, writers tell them, they're telling stories, sure, but they're also potentially telling themselves stories, like, is this any good? Will anybody like it? What will happen if I get a bad review? What will happen if nobody buys? What happens if I do X and Y doesn't happen or whatever? And they can construct a story that might not really serve them. What would you say to them to help them reframe that?
I think we're all guilty of imposter syndrome, right? Here's the thing. If the story is speaking to you for some reason, it's going to speak to somebody else.
Yes.
And I would say I was very nervous about the second book, Adeline's Story, but then I just got readers who reached out to me and said, like, I am Adeline. And so if there's something speaking to you, there is some reader out there who wants to read that. And it's sort of, I don't know. I'm getting a little woo here, but I feel like it's almost your calling. You got to do it.
I
And you
agree
have
with
to
you.
write what you enjoy too. And like, because you're the one spending time with the book. And I just feel like just put it out there, see who finds it.
I love that you said that, because that's something that I have said before repeatedly on the show, but it's what I believe wholeheartedly, that you were given that story for a reason. You are the right person for that story. And so when you do get in your head, go back to that why. Why was this important for you to write? Why this character? Why did you want this particular story? And why did you want to write for this audience? You know, when you go back to those and they really resonate with you, let that be that guiding light as you continue to move forward. So book three also has this theme, which I love that. I seriously love how this theme shows up. But what it's also doing is that it's not just showing up for the characters, but it can show up for writers to keep listening to your heart, keep showing up and telling the stories that you were supposed to tell, and keep following your heart. Because, you know, like you said, if it's your calling, don't let it die inside you. Get that story out. And these characters needed to go through something similar. They didn't want their story or their deepest desires to die within them at, you know, page one. They needed to go through a journey so that at the end they experienced their own happily ever after, whatever that was for them. So talk to me about when book three happened, and you recognize now, did you intentionally set out the theme again, or did this once again show up and you're just entertained by yourself at this point?
I think I'm entertained by myself now. So this one is directly related to my second book, The Trials of Adeline Turner. When that book came out, there was a villain in that book, and her name is Jasmine. And I was just really shocked. And so she's Adeline's work nemesis. And I was really surprised by how many readers wanted to know more about Jasmine and her story. And at the end of Adeline, we see that, oh, Jasmine has had a secret this whole time in the book. And so I kind of was like, okay, like I'm going to go for it. So this book is told from Jasmine's perspective, and there is a lot of there's overlap. And so there's actual same scenes that happen in Adeline's book that are now told from Jasmine's perspective. Because I strongly believe that maybe it's the lawyer in me. There's always two sides to a story, and everyone holds on. They believe their side of the story. And so we have Jasmine's perspective, but this one is a little, it was a little outside my comfort zone when I started writing this, because Jasmine, she's a young lawyer. She's 26 years old. She's at a law firm in Los Angeles, and she has a crush on a colleague, but she's a smart woman, and she was said, I'm never going to date anybody in the office because that's just, I don't want to do that to myself. It's bad career, bad career idea. But then her office crush asked her out for a drink. And, a few more outings, they hook up, and she's in love. Unfortunately, there is and this is where my comfort zone, here we go. She finds out that he is married, and she finds out his backstory. And so then, and she does the right thing. She's like, okay, this is done, this is over, I've been duped. But she kind of learns things that are a little more complicated. And again, this was sort of inspired by, I was in a discussion, and one of the panelists was a divorce attorney. And she was saying the character Adeline, she said she's being very judgmental about this guy. Like, he's separated, he can kind of do what he wants and all this stuff. And that was kind of my point of Adeline, was everything in that book, like Adeline saw the world in black and white. And so Jasmine's book, my theme was always like, not all love stories are black and white. Some are kind of in the gray area. And so this is a book about being in that gray area. And so Jasmine really has to side between her heart and her head in this book.
I love that so much. I love that because, to your point, you're also pushing your characters, and you're by pushing them out of their comfort zone. Yes, you're pushing yourself, but you're also pushing them, because if it's out of your comfort zone, it's going to be out of their comfort zone too, because they have to feel real for it to for the reader to buy into it. And so I really like that, because you're going back to, what else do I need to do to help this character go through some learning development opportunities to help them get to where they want to go. And it's not all the time easy. It's not all the time clear what to do. And even if you do have a, it's very clear yes, it's a very clear no, yes. And then there's a lot of times, to your point, that it's gray. I mean, even when you're writing a manuscript, you can still go, well, I can go in this direction, or I can go in this direction. So sometimes it's, well, let me just try this direction, direction A out first, and maybe even try going back to the beginning and try direction B and see which one feels better if you're not really sure. So allowing that gray section to kind of be there, I think that's really cool.
You just described the writing process for that book. That was exactly kind of what happened. I thought, oh, these are two bad characters. They're doing bad things, and I'm going to make it, sort of this wild ride and all this stuff. And then I just realized, this isn't, these aren't the type of characters I write. I do tend to write more real characters. And the book is a fast-paced book, and it's meant to be fast-paced, and it's meant to be entertaining in some way. But I definitely wanted the reader, so I wanted the reader to be hooked in, like, what is going to happen and what do I want to happen? And am I comfortable with what is happening? And I wanted it to be a book that they would talk about with their friends too, like more of a discussion, like, oh my gosh, like, what if my friend was doing this? What would I say to them? What would I do in this situation? And so it was a little bit of out of my comfort zone, but like I said, I tried to write in a really fast paced, like, every chapter kind of ends on what's going to happen next type of plot. And so I'm kind of hoping, readers kind of feel that same way. They're like, well, I'm not sure what I wanted from this book, but I can't wait to talk about it.
But I like that. I think that's cool, because I definitely believe that the writer starts the story, but the reader continues it. It's a conversation, and the writer just simply started it, and it's what you take away from it, and you're sharing it with a friend, or you might reread it, or you might you're processing it, or it might have shaped how you look at something, because it started one way and you came out a little different because you spent the time with that book, whatever that book was. So I think that's cool that you want to see where what where this takes you. So
I mean,
I
oh my gosh, I rewrote it so many times. It was ridiculous.
love that. I love that so much. So what would you say, before we close, to a writer who might be a little uncomfortable writing in the gray, going in those different directions, or maybe they are trying a different, they're trying route A. Maybe they tried route B and they're still kind of feeling like, oh, I shouldn't it feel clearer to me? What would you
Yeah.
say?
Again, it kind of goes back to there's a reason you want to write something. And even though you might be uncomfortable, like there is a message there. And life isn't, in Adeline's world, that's what held her up. Like life isn't black and white. Things are really gray. And I mean, when you write that story, I think you'll be surprised how many people come to you and say, like, hey, this is something I've been struggling with. Or, I mean, maybe not, my plot line exactly, but people can kind of relate more to that gray area than they can to a perfect heroine. People are going to relate more to the imperfect. And so, yeah, just keep going. Just write the story in your heart.
Definitely, definitely. Angela, this has been awesome. Where can people connect with you and where can they get your book?
Sure. So people can connect with me on social media on both Instagram and Facebook at Angela Terry Author. And then you can also check out my website at angelaterry.com and sign up for my newsletter if you are interested in events, things happening in my author life. And as for my books, wherever you like to buy books, my books are there. Amazon, bookstores, wherever books are sold.
Awesome. Angela, this has been fantastic. Thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you, Jen.